Hello, everyone. This is Luke John Louis, the host of the Deep Voiceman Show. Thanks for joining us today. We have a treat in store for you guys. Our guest is John Timmerman, and he is the founder and CEO of several firms, and he's one of the most successful people I've had come on as a guest on the show, so we're very fortunate to have him. He is the CEO and founder of Good Monster. This is a creative digital marketing agency that helps growth-focused firms develop and deploy smart, profitable marketing and advertising strategies. And they work in different industries, from manufacturing and industrial to e-commerce and consumer. And they work with businesses of all sizes, small, medium, big, and as well as B2B firms. So they help folks and entrepreneurs grow their businesses in the realms of social media, SEO, website design, and so much more. And they've gotten great results for their clients. I believe in one notable campaign, they were able to grow a firm's revenue from $8K to $35K in 4 months, which is amazing. And so he's also the co-founder of No Bull Business, a virtual business conference with a lineup of national business builders and influencers like Gary Vaynerchuk and David Meltzer and Tarika Lynn Smith and Constance Schwartz-Marini and dozens more who deliver advice and inspiration to help folks smash through walls and grow their businesses. And he's also the co-founder of Jackson Jovi, and they make the absolute best fitting jeans for modern athletic men and women. And as a board member of the Charity for Children, which is dedicated to providing services for children with disabilities, diseases, and disorders in Central New York, and so much more. I can't really get into all the things that he's involved with and started, of course, because we'll be here forever. But we're very fortunate to have John here, and he was able to carve out some time in his packed schedule to sit down and have a chat with us. So we're so blessed. Thank you so much for coming on, John. And I guess we could start off. You could tell us about your background and how you first gravitated towards doing what you do today.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me on. Appreciate the thoughts. So my entrepreneurial journey, I guess, summed up in a short kind of concise nutshell. I was a personal trainer for about 10 years. That was my background. I went to school first, sport performance and kinesiology. And that was sort of my career, personal training athletes. And my first dive into entrepreneurship is I trained a gentleman named Frank Easterly. He was a very successful businessman, very avid golfer, and came to me to try to get more flexible for golf, you know, his recreational sport. And so during our training sessions, I would talk to Frank about his business and just like I would all my other clients, just learn a little bit more about them. And I started to talk about his business and how, you know, he was an older gentleman and his career and how he built it. I became more interested in the business side of things. And, he kind of encouraged me to go off on my own as a personal trainer outside of the company that I was working for. So he taught me, you know, the nuts and bolts of starting a business and helped me launch my own personal training company. That spawned into an online personal training company. So I trained people all over the country. And just sort of chipped away at the different entrepreneurial things that I did, and here we are today. So that was the first kind of dive into it.
That's amazing. And, you know, actually, I never would have guessed that you got your start as a personal trainer. I would have thought you're someone with an MBA and went to some Ivy League business school and whatnot. And
not at all.
That's not the case here, that's even more amazing. And so that's incredible. Thanks again for coming on, and thanks for sharing your story. And it's interesting. I used to be a personal trainer myself, actually, at Equinox, and I know how tough that is. Yeah. and that's amazing that you were able to. I guess, you know, as a trainer, they say the first thing they tell you is that you're working in sales and that it's primarily a sales job, which is, I don't know if you would agree with that or not, but sales is a large part of it. And I think maybe the skills you learned as a trainer probably helped you as an entrepreneur, I'm sure.
Yeah, that and the grueling hours, both of those things. So, as you know, personal training, you got to wake up at 5 a.m. and then you work until, until maybe 9 or 10. Then you get a short break. Then you got a lunch crowd. Then you got a break. Then you got so like the long hours of personal training plus absolutely on the sales side. You even if you're not selling new clients, which I know at maybe a bigger gym, you have a quota you have to hit. But regardless, you're selling yourself, your knowledge, your trustworthiness. So absolutely, I would agree.
Wow, that's amazing. And so this gentleman that you had as a client, Frank, the golfer, you were helping him improve his flexibility and whatnot. I guess he sort of served as a mentor to you or a role model. He inspired you to kind of
absolutely
be an entrepreneur. And that's so amazing. And I think you find this with a lot of successful people, and they have a mentor, whether it's someone in their family or someone else. It reminds me of that book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, where he was growing up and he had a poor dad, but a rich dad who inspired him. And so this guy was sort of like your rich dad, I guess, in a sense.
Yep. that's a good analogy.
And so that's amazing. And then here you are today. I'm curious, do you still train people? I know you work with helping businesses, but is that something you still do? Or?
I just train myself. No, I don't do any personal training. I haven't in 10 years or so. After the online personal training company, I fell in love with marketing and I fell in love with SEO and websites and just kind of the strategy behind marketing and how it maps to growing a business. And I slowly got out of personal training and more into the marketing side.
Okay. And that's great. That's wonderful. And so you're still training people in a sense, I suppose, but you switch the focus, I guess, if that makes any sense. And and I'm sure the skills that it took to teach people how to do things that are new to them is still kind of the skills you're still using to teach folks, which is great. Now I'm curious. Now, obviously, you've been doing this for a number of years. You've been helping people out, helping business owners and entrepreneurs. Now, obviously, recently we had a big thing happen. I'm sure you're aware of the pandemic. I'm curious, how would you describe the current state of business and entrepreneurialism, and what challenges has the pandemic posed, if any?
Change. Change is upon us. Probably the single greatest or most blatant thing that has happened from the pandemic is that it has forced change that probably would not have normally happened for another decade or two. In virtually every industry. So you have... Okay. The technology, 5G was already coming, but like you have the technology that would allow us to stream video faster and more because, and everyone was consuming so much Netflix and all of the Netflix-like companies popped up in 2020. Discovery Plus, Paramount Plus, Disney, maybe that was launched right before, but so you have content and entertainment being thrust forward because the opportunity existed. We're all sitting at our homes trying to fill our time with something. Then you have industries like, Airbnb where, they had, well, that's a bad example because they're in a bit of hot water right now, but you have these Grubhub. So you have Grubhub, which now everyone is forced to use. Restaurants were forced to use. Consumers were forced to use because you couldn't go in and eat. Then you have industries like ours, marketing, digital marketing, or just marketing in general, where companies that were not thriving with online or e-commerce marketing needed to, because that's the only place they could get in contact with any sort of hope to get a customer or a client. So our company grew and we were forced to grow and adapt and be able to grow along with the demand. So change is sort of the theme of 2020. Healthcare. Look how fast the vaccine came out. I mean, just it's been incredible how bad 2020 was on a variety of different reasons, it's also thrust a lot of positive change forward.
Right. And that's amazing. That thank you for that answer. And it's incredible in how so many, I guess there's been a lot of innovation as well. You know, they say during the Great Depression, a lot of companies were invented, believe it or not. So it's interesting how this happens. And so you mentioned the word change. That was the first, I think, word you mentioned, and that's so important.
Absolutely.
Obviously, I guess the point you were trying to get at was these trends already existed, but as a result of the pandemic, they were already kind of sped up, if that makes any sense. They were just these trends towards digital and whatnot. And so we kind of, as you said, a decade's worth of activity and progress happened in a short period of time. And so, you know, it's interesting how with crisis comes opportunity, and so many firms were able to adapt and, in fact, thrive because they were able to expand their reach by going digital or online or virtual and whatnot and reach out to more people. And obviously some businesses are closed and will never come back, and that's unfortunate. But so many businesses were able to adapt and adjust. I'm sure you were able to do that. And are, of course, thriving and progressing as a result, which is amazing. And so, you know, change, the only consistent thing out there is change, and you just have to adapt. You know, they say there's an old adage that life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you respond. And I think that's so true. You know, when life gives you lemon, you kind of make lemonade. And so I'm sure you and others were able to adapt by going virtual and whatnot and still were able to keep things going. Obviously, it was tough at first. Now, I'm curious, you know, there'll be a time when the pandemic ends sooner rather than later, and we'll be in that post-pandemic world, particularly with the vaccine coming out and whatnot, and more people are taking it. Where do you see things in the future, and where do you see yourself in that future?
I apologize. That last little part just cut out a little bit. Could you repeat that?
No problem. Where do you see yourself in the future? Where do you see yourself in that future?
So I've got a long-term vision to, from a business perspective, to turn or continue to create Good Monster as a machine that can allow peripheral businesses and brands grow faster. So Good Monster is a marketing company. We're a strategic marketing agency. We understand the internet. We understand culture. We understand what people want, why they want it, and you know how to serve it up to them on a silver platter, so to speak. So the long-term vision is to have Good Monster be the marketing machine that would allow us to either acquire or start other brands that Good Monster can then market. Often sales and marketing is the area that businesses, good products, good services lack. And it's not the only reason. Of course, you could have a crappy product or something like that. But if you have a good product, the only reason that business wouldn't grow is either the people who are in and around it, or it lacks sales and marketing in order to get that attention. Where I see myself in whatever 5 or 10 years, it's continuing to oil that and fine tune that machine, and then find good partnering brands and companies or start them to be able to build this kind of portfolio of companies. But I will say at the core of the reason of doing that are two things. Number one, my own creativity. I love to create. I love to fix problems. I love to figure things out. And number two is I love to employ people. I love to build teams. I love to watch them thrive and succeed. I love to support them and see them have great personal lives, great professional lives, and just ultimately be happy. So the Good Monster machine, yes, it serves my own creativity to grow business, but it also, I'm excited to grow a very large team of people that are happy and productive members of society.
That's amazing. That's incredible. And thank you so much for that. Obviously, it's great to build a team. And I guess as an entrepreneur, you're creating jobs, which is very rewarding, I can imagine. and so that's, and building a team is so amazing. And all successful people have a team and have people around them. And, the old saying, teamwork makes the dream work. It sounds cliched and corny, but it's so true. And you talked about your creativity. And obviously, since you work in marketing and whatnot and advertisements, and I guess you're in the right business for that, so to speak, to be creative. And it's interesting, the importance of marketing for firms, even if you have a good product, it may still be tough because you have to make sure people know about it. And a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with this. There's a high failure rate with businesses. Many of them fail within the first, I think it's 90% within the first couple of years. I'm sure it's probably higher now due to the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I think that a result of that is because a lot of business owners, they start off with a good idea or a good product, but maybe they struggle with the marketing. And usually businesses fail because of lack of sales or lack of revenue and lack of customers and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's where marketing can come in and solve that problem for businesses, the right kind of marketing. And that's where folks like yourself come in. And I think we see this all the time with business owners outsourcing their marketing or getting help with their marketing, which is amazing. But the great thing is businesses are created all the time, every day. I think by the thousands every day, that may be an undercount. So you continually have more and more customers created every day that you can help. So you're definitely in the right business, I would say. So that's amazing that you help firms succeed, and you're helping to turn around the high failure rate of businesses and whatnot. Now, obviously, there are so many kind of marketing firms out there or firms out there that or consultants, business owners can turn to help them. And with marketing, particularly in the digital online space and SEO and whatnot. I'm curious now, there's so many of you guys out there. How do you stand out? Like, what differentiates you? What's your competitive advantage and whatnot?
Sure. So we have a global team. So we have a team in Brazil. We have a team in India. We have a team in here in the United States. We're all remote. We were before the pandemic. So we have built our agency on three things: be efficient, be effective, and be remarkable. So be efficient. We are most as cost efficient as we can possibly be for the level of work that we do. So while we could go out there and work for, a Nike or a Budweiser, we could do it at a fraction of the cost because we have talent distributed throughout the globe. We can market to different markets, and we can do it cost efficient. The cost of living in Brazil is not what it is in New York, where we are.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
We can just pick and choose the right team and fit it into, a cost efficient, budget. So the effective part is we have a performance model. So for our core group of our core niche, if you'll call it, is B2B companies or manufacturers, product manufacturers that typically are consumer products, like a Yeti mug or anything, a pen. It doesn't matter.
Right.
But are typically don't have their own online brand. Their brand is distributed through grocery stores or Target or even Amazon in some cases. They don't really own their own brand. They rely on brokers and distributors. So what we do is we come in and we help them go direct to consumer. We help them create an e-commerce channel, Amazon, Walmart.com, email marketing. We help them own their own channel so they earn more profit off their own products. So that being our niche, we take those companies and we have a performance model which allows us to even discount our prices and attach a performance goal. If we hit the goal, then we earn our discount back. So we have a little bit of skin in the game, so to speak, with our client partners.
Wow.
It's
wow.
not just us saying, hey, we're going to do 50 hours of work from you, so you owe us $5,000 or whatever that is.
Right.
Hey, we have this team of rock star marketers, the best of the best, and we'll work with you a little bit, so that we're actually trying to drive you revenue. Because at the end of the day, clicks are great, traffic's great, views are great, comments are great, but without a dollar sign being attached to the end of those metrics, it doesn't really matter for a business. They have to make money in order to justify hiring a company like us. So that performance model allows us to be very different from most other agencies out there. So more, a little bit more cost efficient, a little bit more performance focused. And we are not attached to a certain area, so we can truly go find the best talent in the world for what we need or what our clients need.
Wow, that's amazing. And so that's incredible. So you guys, you know, it's interesting. You talked about the efficient, effectiveness and being remarkable. So when it comes to efficiency, you're talking about cost efficiency where clients, they don't have to pay as much for you as maybe someone else. And so they save money, depending, I guess, on where they are, Brazil versus New York, like you mentioned. And you talked about being effective in terms of the niche that you guys focus in on. You know, there's a saying that the riches are in the niches. That sounds corny but true. But, you know, focusing on a niche helps businesses thrive. And obviously in the B2B, maybe somewhat in the consumer package goods area. So you help businesses when it comes to, email marketing and helping them to sell directly to consumers and whatnot, which is amazing. And you guys, what makes you guys remarkable is the talent. You guys are experts, and you have some of the best talent in the world, which is amazing. And so it's incredible how you can help people. Now, when I was doing research on your firm, it seems like you can help businesses almost comprehensively. You know, they can go to, it's like a one-stop shop. They can help, you can go to them and they can go to you for help with email marketing, SEO, website design, pay-per-click, you know, and several different other things, ways you can help them. So it's, you don't leave no stone unturned, so to speak. And also social media, of course. So that's incredible. Now, I'm sure you've helped many firms grow their revenues and whatnot. And you probably helped a lot of businesses. You brought them back probably from the brink and helped them survive, I'm sure. Can you tell us some of the most moving or entertaining stories from your life and career?
Most moving story from my life or career. Well, I had my first child, my son, so that's the most moving in my life a little over a year ago. And the past year it's been a rough year for the world, but it's been one of the best years in my life. It almost sounds like dirty to say that, but like it's being a father is something that is much more important to me than business. You know, we've been talking all about business side of things, but I just, you know, you said personal. So like that's it.
That's fine.
As far as business, one of the most moving things is the current team that we have now. Very specifically, the most moving thing for me is to see that we can have people who speak Portuguese in Brazil, in Hindi in India, and English in America, and we can still all have a holiday party. We have different holidays, but like, we can all get on a Zoom call together and have fun and share stories. And we can still have, you know, individual relationships, even though we're, you know, whatever, 20,000 miles apart. So that's been one of the most moving things in business for me is to see how much impact our company can have on other people's lives, and that having a job can truly be satisfying. Right? It's not it's not. Of course, people have bad days and they don't want to go to work or get up to work and like you know, not feeling it or whatever. But in general, to see that we're able to cultivate a team of people that are really passionate to work at Good Monster with each other from 20,000 miles apart is truly amazing.
Wow, that's amazing. That's incredible.
Thank God for technology.
Yeah. technology is definitely amazing. It helps to connect the world, so to speak. And so, but first I want to congratulate you on having your son. This is your first child. That's amazing.
It is, yeah.
And so I can only imagine that's incredible. And obviously, so you, of course, are building a global team. And you obviously you get a kick out of having a team of people and these relationships and whatnot. And so you said the holiday events are amazing. So you celebrate the holidays from each, I guess, sort of culture, which is great. Yeah, mm-hmm. Each culture gets their day or their days or whatnot. And people are, I'm guessing, so they speak different languages, but they can all communicate, obviously through technology, or maybe they're multilingual or there's translators or whatnot.
Yeah, everyone speaks incredible. English, but it might not be their first language.
Okay, great. And English is sort of like that universal language, so thank God for English. When you know English, it's almost like you never have to learn another language, which is, you know, a good thing and a bad thing, so to speak. But so that's great, and that's incredible. And so I'm curious. Now, obviously, we're talking about the importance of relationships and whatnot, and you know a great deal about marketing. But they also say that for a lot of businesses, particularly when they're starting out, it helps to network and go out there and meet people. And they say the most successful people have the deepest and widest networks out there, and it helps you to, you know, to get referrals and whatnot. So networking is really key. I'm sure you've done quite a lot of networking yourself. And it also, it's not just for entrepreneurs, but job hunters, people who are looking for work. If they want to find out about a job opportunity to work for Good Monster and work for you, networking would help. Even if you have a job, you can find a better job and no job, because no job is secure. I'm curious, what advice would you give to people for networking so they can get referrals and find out about opportunities?
So I've never been great. You know, I'm a introvert with like extrovert tendencies. I've never been great at going out and meeting people, schmoozing, things like that physically.
Okay.
So it's funny. The pandemic was sort of my wheelhouse. I mean, it's funny because I love people, but at the same time, you know, I love to be in my work and in strategy and with my family. I mean, that's my ideal day is, you know, in my own thoughts and strategies, working on problems and being with my family. Mm-hmm. As far as business development, though, however, I know some of the best ways to do business development in today's day and age. Mm-hmm. And although having physical, you know, events and networking events and things like that is still the best place to make really deep connections with people, it's not the only way. I'll mention one of probably the most popular trending opportunities for networking, and that is Clubhouse. So there's a new app called Clubhouse. If you're not familiar with it, look it up. Right. It's only on iPhone, so sorry, Android users, or by the time this comes out, maybe it will be. But Clubhouse is a really interesting app and has opened up opportunities for people who are introverts or who are not currently well-connected in their communities or in their industries. They don't go out to all the shows, trade shows, you know, things like that. Because Clubhouse will allow you to just go into any room. It's an audio-only platform. So just like we're talking right now on audio, you can go into Clubhouse. You can talk via audio. And you can listen to big business celebrities, actual celebrities and movie stars and musicians, or just people in your industry. So if you're interested in leadership, you can go into leadership rooms. If you're interested in real estate, you can go into real estate rooms. And you can listen to them, to the people up on stage, quote, stage, talking. You can raise your hands, or you can look them up, look up their profile, click over to their Instagram, and then direct message them questions you have, or, hey, I need advice on this. So what we used to have to go to an event to do, to strike up a conversation with somebody, right? So an event is is an excuse or an opportunity to go and strike up a conversation with that person that you want to sell your product to, or that company that you want a job at, or, you know, that vendor that you've wanted to talk to maybe hire. you can do these on platforms now like Clubhouse and Instagram and even LinkedIn. So business development in today's world, digital is the most efficient way to do it, and then reversing that into physical. So you start digital, you find the opportunities, you ask the questions, you ask for advice, you ask for the sale, you do these things, and then if it's meant to be, or if you're good enough, or whatever it is your goal is, then it can revert back to a phone call or an in-person meeting instead of having to get to that in-person meeting. So my point is, it's that you can biz dev at a much higher quantity and find the quality much easier than you used to.
Wow, that's amazing. And thank you so much for that. It goes back to what you were saying before about how incredible technology is. Just keeps getting better and better. You have Clubhouse. Clubhouse is amazing. I just got it. I just got Clubhouse and was invited by my sister because obviously you need an invite to get in. And I'm impressed with what I've been able to do on Clubhouse this year. So yeah, I'm definitely been on Clubhouse and other apps and whatnot. Now you talked about how it starts digital, but later on it becomes physical. Which I think is incredible. Like you can meet the person for coffee, or you can meet them via Zoom or whatnot. And so I've been doing that, and I think that it's a great 1-2 punch because they say that even though networking has gone digital, that nothing will ever replace in-person networking. And I'm sure you agree.
No, and that's incredibly important. It's incredibly important for people to understand. It's not going digital to stay digital. You know, the pandemic has made us even hungrier to see each other. You know, here I am saying I'm an introvert, but I still cannot wait until we can go back to having in-person meetings. That still needs to happen. Yeah. There's a level of connection. But the digital has just allowed us to it's allowed us to do more of it.
Definitely. It's so amazing. And obviously, like what you're saying, you know, naturally we are social animals, including introverts, right? So we have to sort of be around each other. You know, and you know, they say the longest lived people in the world, incidentally, in what they call blue zones, part of the reason why they live so long is because they have a strong social component to their lives where they're around other people. And so there is something to that. And it's not that they eat right or they exercise. It's actually they have a community and whatnot. So, and, you know, Bill Gates, I think, once said that you can have the high tech, but you still need the high touch. And I totally agree with him. And so thank you so much for that. I definitely think people need to check out Clubhouse and other apps. And obviously you need an iPhone, but I'm hoping later in the year that they open it up a bit more. It's still relatively new, Clubhouse, so they have to kind of expand and work on the kinks and whatnot. Thank you so much for that. And I'm curious, now, you work in the realm of helping businesses grow and marketing, and you do other stuff. You also work in fashion, and you're also in the non-profit sector and world, and so that's amazing. And you also are you were the co-founder of No Bull, a virtual business conference. So I'm guessing you probably, prior to the pandemic, it was something that people all went to, but they can't anymore, so now it's virtual. You tell me, we've been obviously talking a lot about Good Monster, about these other ventures that you're involved with.
Yeah, so I'll talk about No Bull because that's the very top of mind. It's from the time of this call, this podcast, it's about a month away. So it's April 7th and 8th.
Right.
And yes, it was going to be an in-person. It was going to be a 2,000-person conference in Syracuse, New York.
Right.
Featuring Gary Vaynerchuk, David Meltzer, all the speakers that you see there that are still going to participate and be teaching us all how they've done business and how they've grown their business. So, it was forced to be virtual because of the pandemic. And so we had to adapt and move to a virtual only, but that one is, I would call it kind of a passion project. We wanted to create a conference, my partners and I, that cut through the bullshit. Sorry, Hope I can swear. But so
you could swear.
There's a lot of conferences. There's a lot of conferences that are motivational, and that's part of the in-person attractiveness of a conference. You go there to have some sort of, you know, feeling to get jump started, to, you know, to get motivated to go.
Right.
And that's of course going to be there with a physical event, but we wanted to just, we didn't want to bring on speakers that were just professional speakers. I had gone to events where there's big celebrity speakers that are sort of just going through the same spiel that they always do. Right. So they go to different events and they say, here's my story. Here's how I built this. Here's how I did this, you know, and now we're a $1 billion company. And then everyone's like, oh, cool. I can go be a $1 billion company now too. And we wanted to not tell people they can't do that, because of course people are doing that every day. There's probably, you know, some 15-year-old right now that's working on something that's going to be worth $50 billion in 3 years. So, but we wanted to make sure that all the rest of us are not constantly chasing the unicorn. We're not constantly thinking that we need to be the next Facebook or Uber or IBM or whatever, Tesla.
Right.
You know, that's great to dream. And I mean, shit, I want to be the biggest global agency in the world, but I need to know what I need to know where to step next. I need to know what to do at 5 o'clock tonight to do that. Not you know, what to do 10 years from now. So we wanted to bring in speakers and real business builders that can teach us all how to do things today, tomorrow, next week. Here's what we did. Here's what you can do in your particular industry to adjust to things that are going on now, like the pandemic. So basically our conference is intended to be much more tactical and much less motivational, like rah-rah, to provide people with that tactical knowledge that they need to get through this week.
Wow. That's amazing. That is so amazing. You know, it's incredible what you're doing. Now, obviously, what really impresses me is all these big names. Gary Vaynerchuk sticks out to me because I definitely know who that is. I think a lot of people do. So it's amazing that he's going to be there as a speaker. And, you know, it's also amazing that they're going to be teaching folks sort of a step-by-step process, so to speak, and that, you know, methods, not just motivation, but I'm sure there'll be some motivation, but actual methods that people can apply and whatnot. And, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that because, you know, I find that this stifles many people a lot when they want to achieve success. And is that, you know, what is that first step? You know, and people understand the big picture, but then they get overwhelmed and they don't do anything, or they get stuck in analysis paralysis. And, you know, it just overwhelms them. But if you break it down into these small steps, you know, what's the first tiny baby step I need to make? And then what's the next step after that? And you take it day by day. More people are more likely, I would suppose, to accomplish their goals as opposed to being overwhelmed. And that's great. And, you know, it reminds me of something that Will Smith said in an interview, that when people want to build a great wall, but they get overwhelmed. So they just have to focus on laying one brick down at a time, taking one day at a time. And then over time, you have a big wall. You know what I mean? But it's all about not overwhelming yourself. Just what's the next tiny step I need to take? And then after that, you take the next tiny step, break it down into little bits that are not intimidating at all. And people would be surprised of what they can accomplish. It sounds like an incredible event, and it's something I'm definitely very interested in. Thank you for helping to create this and whatnot. And you're obviously, it shows your passion for wanting to help others and to teach others and to train others, you know. So I definitely could see that. I'm curious, what advice would you give people that want to be an entrepreneur like you, that want to do big things like you, and they're stuck or confused? I guess, what would be the first couple of steps that you would tell them to take?
Well, I guess it depends on where they're stuck or confused, right? So there's a few different places, and I've been stuck there, and pretty much everybody who is a entrepreneur or entrepreneur will. It's either I don't have enough money, I don't have enough skill or talent, I don't have enough connections, I don't have enough experience. And then it can kind of trail off from there. You know, I'm too old. I'm too young. So there's all sorts of sort of roadblocks that we can create in our brain. But the one common thing for any entrepreneur to be successful is that all of those things don't matter. You have to get to the place mentally where those things don't matter because there's always a way over, around, or through it. That's the one common thing that is sort of a cost of entry of every successful entrepreneur. Or you find somebody who does have that personality enough to drag you along with them, right? So there's relationships, maybe, you know, you use the one like Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak, right? Where Steve Jobs was the one who there were no boundaries. Wozniak, I don't know if it's really public, like what he felt about the boundaries or not, but he was much more the brains behind the tech and things like that. So you could, of course, have a partner. So my suggestion is if you're stuck, go find somebody that can pull you out of it. That might be in the form of a mentor, as you talked about at the start of this show, who can sort of show you the way or inspire you to get through that roadblock that you have. Or because of, again, technology, you can look it up online. You can buy a course. You can follow somebody every day like Gary Vaynerchuk. I mean, right now I'm trying to teach myself real estate investing, and it's the sheer amount I have learned in the last month about investing in real estate just by watching content on social media is absurd. Absurd. If I had a little bit more time, I could learn from the greatest minds in real estate just by looking at free social media content and then go invest in my first few real estate deals and most likely be successful if I was patient enough to really listen to what they're saying. So point is, if you can't get past wherever it is you're stuck now, try to find somebody who can pull you out of it, either personally or osmosis is water, but you know, by osmosis, by just, you know, looking at their content and being near them on a regular basis. Don't spend time on the mind numbing social media content stuff that we get, you know, bright shiny objects that we get distracted by, but really really absorb the educational content in whatever it is that you're trying to get unstuck from.
Right. And thank you so much for that. And that's amazing advice. You know, you mentioned the importance of a mentor. You had that in Frank, the golfer, who was a client of yours as a personal trainer. I guess he helped to inspire and push you. So that's incredible. People need to go out and get their own Frank. What Easterly was it, right?
yeah.
And if they can have their own Frank, that would help them a lot. You know, it's interesting. The great thing about a mentor is that they can hold you accountable. And that's why, you know, I think everyone should have a coach or mentor, because a human being can hold you accountable. You know, a book can't do that. You know, a social media post, website, magazine article, blog can't really hold you accountable, but a person can. And
you
got to,
you
got to
measure your own sort of needs, right? So I'll be the first one to tell you, Frank certainly did not push me or pull me forward. He was he was very reserved and private, and I was hungry once I saw what success he had had, what he had done to build his business. So somewhere along the line, I already had that in me. I just needed to meet somebody like Frank to show me what was possible. And then I couldn't wait to go train him to pick his brain. In fact, it got to the point where I felt bad. I offered to pay him or give him free training sessions, which he didn't need it. I mean, he was richer than, you know, anybody. But I was like, can I come to your office? Can I shadow you? Can I do this? So I was already hungry. But I know plenty of people that see success on social media or see it in the world, and they want to learn how to do that. They want somebody to coach them. They want somebody to pull them along. They need that motivation. So people should really dig inside and figure out what type of person are they? Do they have that itch where they just need to create something, you know, and they can't be happy or satisfied without going to explore that, or do they want to, and then they need a mentor or a coach to hold them accountable? It's going back to personal training, right? So if you love fitness and you don't need motivation to get up in the morning or at night or whatever and go to the gym, you can go train yourself, and then you can just join an online program or something to follow, right?
Right.
Or if you hate working out and you hate fitness, but you know you need to do it, then you need a trainer like you or I to you know, keep you accountable.
Yeah, and that's amazing. And thank you so much for that clarification. So Frank did not have to motivate you. You already had that self-motivation. He just inspired you and showed you what was possible. And so that's amazing. And thank you for that. And it's interesting you talked about there's so much information out there that it's absurd. But I guess it's a double-edged sword. On the one hand, there's a lot of information, which is great. On the other hand, it's a lot of information, which a lot of people can get bogged down with and be stuck in analysis paralysis and never start due to fear. So, you know, I interviewed another guest who told me about there's so much books out there and whatnot. He called it, instead of self-help, it's shelf-help. You know what I mean? So I guess it's so important that people realize that. Obviously, I was interviewing a guy. He was the founder of Hydro Flask, and he told me that you have to start things before you think you're ready or completely ready. And, you know, and you have to say yes to life. And that's what he sort of did. And so, you'll never get to the point where you feel like you know absolutely everything, right? And so you need to study some things, but at some point you do have to take that first step. And you may have to learn on your own, make your own mistakes here or there and whatnot. So I think that's so important for people to realize, not to get bogged down and on all the absurd amount of information and whatnot. Now, I'm curious. Now, obviously, you talked about obstacles people have to overcome. One of those is fear of rejection. And I'm guessing you probably had to deal with that here and there, even when you worked as a trainer. And you have to, you know, obviously it's a sales job, so you have people telling you no all the time. Is there any advice you have for that for entrepreneurs or business owners?
Could you repeat the last 5 seconds or so? It cut out a little bit again. It might be my phone.
No worries. What advice would you give to entrepreneurs when it comes to overcoming the fear of rejection? Obviously, since you
fear
work
of rejection.
As a trainer,
okay.
Which is, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So it goes back to sort of a mental audit. I am fully aware that there's people in different mindsets and mind spaces at different points in their or seasons, as a good friend of mine says, of their life. You know, if the fear of rejection is something that's deep rooted, there's not, you know, it's going to be much harder to overcome that fear of rejection. Whereas I was blessed with parents and an upbringing and my own DNA, wherever that came from, that just made me not care about rejection.
Right.
But there's certain, I mean,
oh, wow.
that's not my entire life. Like I have fear of rejection in certain areas of my life. Like I don't want people who are close to me not to trust me, or I don't want people who are close to me to think that I don't care about them, or like there's certain things that I really care. And so I look to people who are close to me and I don't want them to reject me. I don't want them to judge me. But then there's a lot of people that I don't care about what they think about my ideas or what business ideas I come up with. So the fear of rejection of that idea, like going to investors, let's say for a business idea, I look at that as an opportunity for investors to all tell me no, because my idea or my sales pitch isn't quite ready yet. I need to hone it a little bit.
Right.
So that being said, knowing that there's different people who have different levels of rejection, fear of rejection, you need to sort of take an audit as to how you can get yourself, like who do you care to be, who do you care most not to be rejected by, and why are you fearing that rejection? and take an audit of what that rejection will actually do to your life, not just your ego, you know, not just your, you know, your soul. And it sort of goes back to the entrepreneurship side of things. Like, how much do you need this? How much do you want this? And what are you willing to sacrifice to go and get it? I think, I haven't done it in a while, but I did some entrepreneurship counseling for a while and consulting, like with student entrepreneurs here at Syracuse University. And I would get a lot of Syracuse University. And a lot of them would come saying that they got this great idea, like I've been working on it. I really want to be an entrepreneur. Like that was the thing. So, you know, that right there told me that they weren't, they didn't like need to be an entrepreneur. They wanted to be one, and they wanted to be one because it's really great. Like, social media has shown that being an entrepreneur can be amazing and can be super successful. And so you have a lot of people that are not prepared for the actual rejection that they would get in entrepreneurship because they only see the amazing things and the Ferraris and the money and the cash and the big houses and the, you know, the online marketers that are saying, you know, with $250 I made $5 million last month. Like, it all, it's just, the internet is amazing. Technology is amazing. But then there's also a very, you know, rose colored glasses put on a lot of things. And I think, I think that sets a lot of people off to that. I can just do this, these things that this person's saying, and then I will find success. So I think that is setting people up for not being prepared for the rejection that they're going to get. And rejection could be anything. It could be trying to make sales and everybody says no. It could be going to venture capital and them saying, no, it's not a good idea. Like, I won't invest in your company, or, you know, spending a bunch of money on something and then having nobody buy it. Like, those are all no's or rejection. So this is the reason I'm saying this. So what I would do for people who have that, for sort of they're stuck, they have a fear of rejection of moving forward is to think about all of those things that could happen. What if I go and try to sell my first product and they say no? What, you know, how much money do I need to spend to create a product, you know, a prototype or something like that, to like then go and ask people, you know, if they'll buy it? So like, think of all the, this is going to sound funny, but think of all the bad things, the rejection, the no's and things, and then just think about, is it worth my quality of life to go explore this thing? That's not a typical answer of how to get over the fear of rejection, because I think that's a bigger question for most people to ask themselves. Because you could go to a Tony Robbins or, you know, Jay Shetty or somebody who will coach you and teach you how to get over the fear of rejection. And it's good advice. But at the end of the day, from an entrepreneurial standpoint, the rejection is always going to be there. And so you have to understand that it's always going to be there, and it will probably make most people who are not innately prepared to deal with it unhappy. So is it worth, is it worth going through that rejection to be, you know, momentarily or possibly even long-term unhappy or not? For me, I'm okay with the rejection because I have long-term vision. I'm okay with the climb and the battle. You know, that's, I most days enjoy that. But for somebody who's not, getting over the fear of rejection for that might not be worth the dive into entrepreneurship. So my advice to those people is go get close to the sun. Go get, go be a number two. Go find somebody who doesn't have a fear of rejection and work right alongside them. Let them take all the rejection, and then you help support them.
Wow. That's amazing. That's incredible. And so, and thank you for sharing that. So obviously you start with an audit, and you were fortunate enough that it's not so much deep rooted within you, a fear of rejection, which kind of helped you out. And obviously for others, it's a little tougher. But I think people need to realize, like what you alluded to, that every major entrepreneur goes through rejection. They still do, obviously. And rejection is, part of the game. You have to accept it and find ways to deal with it. And so, again, thank you so much for that answer. And I think the issue is so many people have rose-colored glasses, like you mentioned, because of all the marketing advertising out there for the Internet. And so people have to understand that. And you know, even famous people have undergone rejection. I think, like, you know, Sanders with KFC and Elvis Presley, Oprah, and you can look it up. And Jim Carrey was once booed off the stage when he was a comedian starting out. So, it happens, and you need to, but successful people, they took that rejection, they learned from it, they overcame it and whatnot, and in many ways made them stronger. So thank you so much for that again. And I'm curious now, what advice would you give to folks who are looking for help as entrepreneurs when it comes to marketing and helping to raise revenues? Now, obviously, they can go to you, which I think is a great decision. But let's say you're not available and you're on vacation or whatnot. who should they go to, and how should they look for a firm that can help them in terms of marketing and getting customers and whatnot?
First, just go to social media and follow people like Gary Vaynerchuk, or from a detailed marketing standpoint, Gary Vaynerchuk, go follow him. I mean,
okay.
There's no need to confuse people with a bunch of different people. So if you're just starting out, just go watch him, or just go watch my show, Marketing by John, because it's tactical advice. He'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. You can learn a little bit. Go search the internet. You got this great thing called Google. You can learn anything on there. If and when you're already successful, you already have a proof of concept, you already have sales, then you go and you look for an agency like ours. Nobody pre-revenue without funding should ever try to go hire an agency. It's just not a good move. I will be the first one to tell you, it's incredibly hard to get something off the ground, even with great marketing. It just takes time. And so there's a direct correlation between cost of marketing and sales and the length of time you've been in business, right? Of course, there's exceptions to the rule, but for most businesses, if you're just starting and you're relying on marketing and advertising to do it, you either have to put in a ton of time or a ton of money.
Right.
And the longer you're in business and the more you learn what works and what doesn't, the more that curve levels out of time and money into marketing and advertising. DIY, or find somebody that can DIY marketing and sales at first. And then when you're at the point where you're ready to scale, that's when you then go hire a firm or an agency of some sort.
Got it. Thank you so much for that critical advice. And
sure.
Now you've shared a lot of wisdom with us, which is amazing. Talked a lot about
my pleasure.
You got it. You talked a lot about the importance of having a mentor, and I guess it helps to surround yourself with people that are at the level you want to be at, so you can learn from osmosis, so to speak. Tony Robbins says that success leaves clues. That's why you want to hang around successful people and whatnot. I'm curious, in addition to all the wisdom you shared with us, is there any other important life lessons you want to provide to us that you've learned yourself or from others?
Never sacrifice happiness for what you think success might be.
Okay. I like that. and that's so amazing.
Just not
worth
it.
Many people, yeah. And I think I get what you sort of mean with that, because there are so many people who work long hours and they may make a lot of money, but they may not be happy because they don't have time to spend it with their family. And
success is not what other people think it is for you. Success is what you think it is for you. And I think, I mean, I know there's a lot of people that just don't. I know because I still, to this day, you know, as confident as that might sound or whatever, I still to this day get pulled into other people's versions of success just from social media, just from listening to somebody on Clubhouse. You know, I was listening in a room the other day about, again, it was more of a real estate room, but there was somebody who was talking about how, you know, you want to become successful and make a lot of money. Like, you need to become the bank. You need to, and then they were talking about how to buy other people's credit and all this stuff. And then, like, I'm like, holy cow, like, it's actually pretty easy to make a ton of money if you just, if you're really, really smart and tactical with it. But then you get into some, you know, tricky areas of ethics of, you know, do I want to go be somebody's bank who's going and collecting on their debt and being a creditor and putting liens at, like, no, I don't want to do that at all. And so, like, for a moment I'm listening and saying, holy shit, like, this is an awesome opportunity. Maybe this is what I need. And then real quick, I'm like, no, all right, John, come back to earth here for a moment. And let's stay on task.
Yeah.
So people really just need to realize that if they're stuck and lost, like you mentioned before, don't automatically go to social media. I just keep saying social media because that's just where people go. They go to Google or social media. So don't just go there to find out what other people are doing to, like, and what they've done is what you need to do to be successful. You need to just, again, internal audit, find your own success. Success for me is just being financially stable, not abundantly wealthy. I just need to be financially stable for my family and spending a lot of time with my son and future kids and wife. That's what I need.
Wow, that's amazing. Wow, that's incredible. That is incredible. And, you know, there are probably people who make several times more money, perhaps, than you do. Let's say they're like a high-priced attorney or corporate whatever. And,
sure. A lot
of like
people
a hypothetical. But, you know, and they're choosing to go that other route of trying to get as much money as possible, but then they don't have enough time to spend with their family.
Yeah, like, remember what you said like about you the people who live the longest?
They have around them?
You didn't say it was money.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. You know, it's funny because they've actually done surveys of elderly people who are close to death, who are dying in the hospice, and a book was written about it. One of the biggest regrets they had was that they didn't spend as much time with their family and more time. They spent a lot more time working than they really should have. So there is something to that. And, and one of the other regrets they had was that they didn't live the lives that they themselves wanted to live. They lived the lives other people wanted them to live. And that was actually a big regret they had right before they passed. You know, so definitely there is something to that. And obviously I think when you get to that point, as we all will, of course, you're not going to have those regrets because you're living the life you want to live. You're spending the time with the family and that's so amazing. And so many people do things that they don't really enjoy because it's just for the money or because somebody wanted them to be a lawyer and their doctor and their family. But they say that when you do work you enjoy, you never have to work a day in your life. And I think you found that place, which is amazing. That's great. And, you know, there's different types of wealth. There's the money wealth, but then there's health wealth, then there's time wealth. You know, time wealth meaning you have lots of time to do the things you want to do. And so many people are rich in one area but poor in others. And so there's a disconnect. But I think more and more people are beginning to realize the different types of wealth, and they're making that connection and they're understanding. I'm making a lot of money, but I'm working a lot of hours. I'm not spending time with the family, and so I'm not really wealthy in one sense. So I'm curious now. Thank you so much for that. And obviously, I'm sure you've studied quite a lot and you've read quite a lot. Obviously, there's a lot of absurd information out there. Absurd amount of information, excuse me, you mentioned. Are there any book recommendations that you would give to folks, any luminaries, gurus you like? I know you like Gary Vaynerchuk. I love him too. And anyone else?
I mean, it would be a real general, thing. Obviously, in different industries from a business perspective, there's mm-hmm. all different people that I don't know. I can't really give an educated answers to who mm-hmm. to go follow. I'll also say that I just don't follow a lot of people mm-hmm. unless it's something that I'm deeply interested in. So I'm learning okay. who are the people to follow in real estate right now. So I'm currently following a gentleman named Thatch Gwynn, I think his name is. And so I would say that the only reason I keep saying Gary Vaynerchuk is he's probably the the yeah. most well-rounded sort of yeah. celebrity business person out there that mm. is equal parts good person and smart mm. business person. And,
okay.
you know, whether you love him or hate him, you know, when a lot of people first hear him, they think he's, you know, like a cocky Jersey guy, but then, you know, mm. you follow him for a while and you realize he's mm. a smart, empathetic person. So mm-hmm. go follow Gary mm-hmm. Vaynerchuk if you're going to follow one person, no matter what industry you're in, or even if you're not right. an entrepreneur at all, he's a pretty good mm-hmm. bet. That's really the only person that I can mention.
Okay, great, wonderful. And obviously he's written books, and as far as book recommendations go, you would probably recommend the books that he's written, of course, right?
I'll be honest with you, I don't read books very much. So I'm sure they're
no
great
worries,
books.
But...
I'm much yeah. more of a visual learner. My ADD is way too crazy to be able to read a book. I don't know.
Okay.
I've read. There's a couple of good books. The Power. I think it's The Power of Habit. Charles Duhigg.
Right.
That's an amazing book because
right.
it teaches you why habits form and how they are broken, which is applicable mm-hmm. in literally every part of our life, whether it's how to
right.
start a good habit or how to break a bad one. That's an amazing book.
Right. Right. Wonderful. And thank you so much for that. I'm curious. Now, obviously, you don't read a lot of books. You learn visually, so probably maybe watching videos on YouTube. Great way to
yep.
learn, by the way. Or maybe listening to a podcast is a great way for people to learn about real estate, for example, and whatnot.
Yep.
I'm curious, are you ever going to, though, write a book yourself about your life? I think it would be a great book. I would read it, or about business or personal development.
I have literally no idea. Maybe.
No worries.
But I probably
All right.
wouldn't sit down and actually write it. I'd probably
okay.
like a lot of authors these days, especially ones that aren't writing fiction or something, is they'll interview like this, and then they'll have somebody ghostwrite it for them. If I ever write a book, that's probably how I would do it.
Yeah. Okay. And so great. Yeah, that's very common. And if that book ever comes out, I would buy it. I'd be the first person online, just so you know. So you have at least one customer. I got to start
somewhere.
Oh,
thank you.
There you go.
You did.
And
yeah.
but I think you're also a great talker and teacher. If perhaps not a book, or maybe in addition to a book, would you ever start your own podcast? It would be great, I think.
I do have a podcast, actually.
I stand corrected then.
Yeah.
Can you talk to us about it?
Sure. So it's John Timmerman Can't Stop is the podcast.
Okay.
And it's like a podcast network, if you will. So I have a few different shows under there that I do. Quotes
okay.
to Live By, where I take, famous quotes or quotes from famous people and sort of break them down and how to apply them to your own life.
Okay.
Another one is Marketing by John. So I just talk about sort of trending marketing topics, like did an episode on Clubhouse, did an episode on
right.
SEO. I did an episode
right.
on a couple of hot, large brand marketing campaigns that went well and other ones that didn't go
right.
well. So
right.
basically, if you want to learn marketing, Marketing by John. So those
All
are
right.
those are the two current shows there. But John Timmerman Can't Stop.
Okay. I'm going to definitely check it out, and it definitely
Great.
Sounds interesting. I love that kind of stuff. So with personal development, I eat it all up. So I'm definitely going to check it out. And so I just wanted to say to thank you for coming on the show. This has been an enlightening and educational episode. One of the funnest I've done. And
awesome. Thank
definitely
you so much.
Amazing. I would definitely look into checking out, again, No Bull. That's in April, right? And so I'm going to look into that, and I would advise folks in the audience to do that too. Now, can you go ahead and describe all the ways people can reach out and connect with you? If they want to utilize, or if they know someone who can utilize your services, or if they just want a successful center of influence in their network.
Absolutely. So if you're interested in No Bull Conference, it's NoBullCon, NoBullCon.com, NoBullCon.com. And then if you want to reach out to me directly, hit me up on Instagram or Twitter, which is at Johnny Timbo, JohnnyTimbo.
Definitely. Thank you so much for that. And just so you know, the information you just provided will be listed in the episode description box so people can read it and see it there for No Bull Con and how they can reach you on social media. So, again, I wanted to thank you so much for being a guest on the show. Again, this conversation has been very enlightening and educational. I wanted to thank the audience for listening to the show. I know that they found it educational and inspiring as I did. So I'm going to see you guys in the next episode. But before we go, is there any last word you want to say or any final send off?
No, just thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you for coming on. And everyone, have a wonderful day. Take care. Bye-bye. Hey, guys, before you go, just real quick, if you can just do me a favor, if you can head over to the Apple Podcasts app, and if you're not there already, and if you can leave me a 5-star review, that would be great. If you love the show, if you can just go ahead and do that, and that will help to spread the word about the show, and other people can enjoy the show as much as you do. And so if you can do that, that would mean the world to me. And also, if you want to email me with any feedback or any praise or support, please feel free to go ahead and do that. And you can also email me to request to be put on our email list. We can send you out emails when new episodes come out. So thank you very much for being a fan of the show. Thank you for listening to the show and supporting the show. So if you can do that, go out and give us a 5-star review on the Apple Podcast app. That would be great. And if you can email us so we can put you on the email list and email us with feedback and praise, that'd be amazing. Thank you so much, and I'll see you guys in the next episode. Take care. Bye-bye.